This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like go get a home at home with the team.
I don't like that one. Yeah, sell it to me.
Well, it's just that's a team that's in the conversation annually in the group of six.
They have to prove that they're doing that. I'm just saying right now that's Boise State. Agree, right?
No, Boise we have.
How many of those do we need if we get the top two dogs at least from the way?
You got to probably have three going, right? I mean,
I'm just saying if
one bye game.
If I can get a Louisville or somebody from a Power Four, though, is that not better? And I've got Boise.
I'm just asking you, as opposed to
James Madison and Boise.
No. If you could tell me and guarantee me that, then I would certainly.
Okay.
I'm assuming nobody does it. I'm assuming no Power Four team will give you one. Now, if they do, then I would lean on my relationships there. But if we just say like if there's no success to be had, go get James Madison. Go get UNLV. Go get Liberty. Try to see if Liberty will do it. Boise State. You know, I would just really try to, you know, and unfortunately, it becomes exactly what Mac Brown was talking about, right? You're playing your own. But, like, you're going to probably be forced into that via uncooperation from these, you know, Power 5 schools, Power 4 schools.
You don't think that conferences, this would be the ACC in basketball, too, it's similar. You don't think to try to have a schedule that matches what the SEC is doing. Like, they have the power of playing themselves nine times, and they get another Power Four. You don't think that other conferences are going to still want to go out and schedule quality non-conference opponents that will actually help their resume and their chances at seeding?
I mean,
let's take out the Big Ten and the SEC.
Because they have no use for
you. Neither one. So whether it's – that's kind of why I'm looking at ACC and Big 12.
I mean, Florida State don't want to play you, though, man. They played you when you beat them and you embarrassed them, and they don't want any part of you again.
I mean, that's a fair point. That's why I point to, again, you're going to have to sell it to somebody else. You did it to Mike.
Right.
Mike's not going to make that mistake again.
That's right. So you got to trick somebody else.
But you go – I mean, again, you know, there was a history with Louisville. And
right.
If they look at you as a Boise State type, oh, that would be a quality win for us out of conference.
Yeah.
Right? And a chance to have something impressive outside of – an ACC championship that we've got to win, obviously, then maybe there would still be some want to. That's my thing. It feels like a small group that you'd be shooting for out of the Power Four.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is I'd rather be shooting at them first, John.
Yeah,
I think you agree
before I'm going for the
five, group of six shootout with everybody.
Even a Georgia Tech, I would try.
Yes, I'm willing to go there with you.
Yeah, like I would just see what they wanted, you know, if they would be interested in
it. Now, once that quarterback's gone, they're probably going to go back. Is it Big King?
But I would try, you know, I would try.
You're with me now.
Yes. Yeah.
We got to hunt them down, see if we've got any that look at you as, you know, attractive in the sense, of, oh, no, that's a competitive one. We can go in there and that's going to actually bolster our resume. Mm-hmm. Just like teams are willing to play Boise State.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Oregon did it. I realize that's
they Big Ten. You know, and they didn't win, so maybe they would be open to doing it again.
Notre Dame did
Boise State, and they've got another one this year with Notre Dame.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep. But I'm, you know, Do I think Notre Dame is feeling good about that right now?
No, you're right. Yeah,
probably not.
I'm saying my guess. We're no Big Ten, no SEC. They ain't picking up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm definitely going to try to find some like-minded or quality opponents in one of those other two conferences. And I just like a little. I even like a Georgia Tech better than I think than some Big 12 team that we got no connection to.
I'm looking at Boise State's future. I mean, it's they have Memphis coming back on the schedule.
Yeah.
Next year, it's in Boise. They have Notre Dame this year. They have Cincinnati in 2028. Cincinnati in 2029. Memphis back here in 2030.
I knew we had multiple games with them.
They have three. They play Memphis three times between next year and 2031. Two of those are in Boise. Cincinnati, Houston. Those are their non-conference. I mean, that ain't great.
Cincinnati and Houston are drops down with what they're
right
with where they are in their conference. From what you've been playing, the Oregons and the Notre Dames.
Let's look at Tulane, because Tulane's got Ole Miss. I'll give them that. I mean, they still, you know.
But that won't happen anymore, likely, right?
I would think it's
because
the same
of what the SEC is requiring of their teams.
Yeah, I'm just going to look up Tulane. I mean, because that's a good sort of bar, you know.
Yeah, them folks at Northwestern, Duke, Ole Miss.
Northwestern, that's this year. Duke, Ole Miss. They're at Kansas State. I think that was sort of already in existence because they played last year. But at Kansas State,
let's see how they got the up and coming ACC team too,
at
in
Duke.
We thought they'd be up and coming. They're not, but we thought so. Jessica mentioned that.
I mean, Tulane's got a good one. So in 2026 they go to Duke, to Kansas State. 2027 they go to Wake Forest. 2028 they go to Iowa State. 2029 they get a game against Iowa State.
They're doing what we should be doing. What I'm talking about. You see it.
Yeah, and then 2030 ACC. And 2032 they get Mississippi State in a home and home.
Yeah, that'll end.
It probably will. Yeah,
Mississippi State's gonna buy that out or try to.
All right, let's look at South Florida.
They don't want to play Tulane.
Let's look at South Florida.
They'll lose.
Tulane definitely seems like they're setting the bar right now in terms of future, right?
Yeah, the only thing they don't have that we have that I like is the Boise setup. You know, having that relationship with Boise where you're basically playing a playoff game against the Mountain West.
Yeah.
well, soon to be Pac-12, I guess.
Yeah. So I know USF had Miami. They have the Florida things going, which is, you know, really helpful for them.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, Memphis just doesn't get the same. I don't know why that is, but.
Well, they could be shutting that down too. They certainly won't be getting Florida anymore.
USF goes to Alabama in 2026. Let's see. USF plays Louisville and Boise State in 2027.
USF smart. They got Boise.
2028, they play at Miami, UConn. I mean, that's not great, but that's not terrible. 2029, NC State, Notre Dame. Yeah, I mean, this is pretty good, you know? I mean, they give you one or two, maybe even three sometimes a year to where like is it matters.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think with Memphis, I think the only thing you got right now is this – these hypothetical series with Arkansas and Mississippi State that we feel like won't get played. And
Boise.
Yeah.
Which is attractive. USF has it.
Yeah.
Tulane doesn't.
Right.
We need to drop off the Georgia States.
Yes.
And the Troys.
Yes. All right.
And get in a Georgia Tech or a Louisville, you know, and something else.
Yeah, I mean, this is an issue.
Because Tulane is doing it.
This is an issue. 2026, Memphis, Arkansas State, at Boise State, UT Martin.
See, all we have is the Boise game.
2027, Arkansas State, at Arkansas State. What are we doing? Southern Miss, MTSU. This is 2027, bro.
There's nothing there. Say it again.
2027 is Arkansas State, Southern Miss, Middle Tennessee State.
Nothing there that can get us in the college football playoff.
Right.
When you compare that to the other schedules of the group of six teams. No way.
It's just, honestly, it's disastrous.
But that schedule was done.
I know it was
by
done.
What, Tom Bowen?
Yeah, I mean, Tom
probably.
Bowen, man. I mean,
so it's killing us. Tulane, that's here. I'm glad you showed us Tulane and everybody because they're doing what we need to be doing. We're locked into this mess, though, for a while.
Arkansas State is, you're playing Arkansas State four times, 4 years in a row. What a mess. Why are you playing Middle Tennessee State and why are you playing them there?
Did Tom go to Arkansas State after Memphis as the AD?
He must have. He did, didn't he?
He locked us in, and then he went over to Arkansas State, I think.
And then he stepped down.
Yeah, he had a personal issue or something.
Yeah.
Something.
Man, this sucks. I'll be honest.
So we can't do right now what Tulane,
South Florida,
and South Florida are doing because we're too locked into junk.
Junk, bro.
Tom.
Junk.
All right, I don't think Laird did those. Laird didn't do that at Arkansas State, did he?
I don't remember when that was announced. I do remember coming out against it vehemently, though.
I don't want to attribute it to Tom if this one's Laird, and Tom has been going wild. It could be Laird.
I mean, this is what this is. Memphis is doing.
How many? It's four.
Four in a row, dude.
Well, that was announced.
Memphis is doing exactly the opposite of what you're supposed to do. They are giving Arkansas State four shots.
But it was before we knew needed to do.
Buy this out. Get out. You got to get out of this.
I mean,
this is, you cannot play these games.
It kills you for college football chance in 2027. I think that's the year that you read off where you don't have anything out of conference that's going to impress anybody.
Yeah. When did they announce this? I don't know when they announced it. Oh, it was 2020. They announced this in 2020.
So oh, yeah. That was Laird. That was Laird.
So it was not Bowen. Just, you know, and everybody at the time was like, you know, of course, it's the Arkansas State fans, right? The Arkansas State fans love this because they're getting four swings. They're getting four swings, two at home against the University of Memphis. And everybody's like, well, you got to give people the draw. No, I ain't giving you nothing. I ain't giving you a damn thing. You get nothing and you like it. You're Arkansas State, dude. But this is what Memphis just always is. They're always a step late, man. They're always a step late with this stuff. You know, and it's just going to cost them. It's just, you got to buy it out, man. I'm serious. You got to buy it out. This is a joke. This is a mess. Look around your league. Look at your peers. Look what they're doing. They got, you know, ACC series, Big Ten series, Notre Dame. You got this damn stupid Arkansas State series. 4 years in a row, man? Stop. Mess.
Yeah, that's not good.
Drew Hill's going to join us at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to find ESPN. Leaders Credit Union is your financial champion. If you're a member at Leaders Credit Union, you benefit because you're owners of the credit union. It's, what do those look like? You get lower rates on loans, you get higher dividends on deposits, you get 24/7 access to online and mobile banking for free, access to 85,000 fee-free ATMs, more than 5,600 shared branches nationwide. And again, it's like you're in it together. It's not a for-profit deal here where you're just a number on a spreadsheet. You know, they want to help you on your financial journey. Right now, leaderscu.com/ESPN. Again, that's leaderscu.com/ESPN. They will waive your $25 membership fee. So go get yourself a champion. Leaders Credit Union. All right, we're back. Jason and John on Turn FM, ESPN. Drew Hill is going to join us in just a little bit. We will talk to him about this game on Saturday. Memphis versus Arkansas, of course, could be the last. I know there's two still on the schedule, but the again, you just don't know what the world is going to necessarily look like by then. You know, I mean, these games get called off, they get moved. I mean, Missouri, you know, I remember that one got moved to St. Louis. That was supposed to be here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And why did it get moved? Do we remember? I don't. Was it anything on Memphis's side? That was Missouri wanted that, right?
Yeah.
And we just, you had to do it. You had to do it.
I think we were fine with them doing that as opposed to buying it out.
Exactly. But, like, these schools can buy it out.
It's in the contract.
Yeah, and they probably will. It's not like it's going to, whatever the buyout figure is, it ain't none to them.
I thought there was a number out there. I could be making it up. I thought it said three. I don't know if I read that from Jonah.
3 million
or one of them.
To buy it all out.
$3 million, yeah. It's nothing. Luck to your point for them.
Yeah, over the they could spread
and
it out.
And
over.
And some of these SEC teams will have to because again of their new scheduling rules.
Exactly, they don't have a choice. They'll be fine. One time hit of $3 million. You know.
Yeah, if that's what it is, I think it's somewhere. That sounds about right. Yeah. What I want to say, I mean, I thought Mizzou was like $1 million, $2 million.
It was something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Would jive.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's. So enjoy it. You know, hopefully Memphis can, you know, and now understand that if Memphis does win, that will 100% be the end of it. Like, they will buy that thing out the next morning, bro. Sunday morning, they will buy that contract. I mean, that's the problem. It's like the unintended consequences of winning these games, which, as you point out, you weren't winning in the 70s and 80s. And I mean, you'd win, you know, occasionally.
Well, there's a reason he didn't point out the record in those 95 games, John.
That's very true. And the record against the SEC since 2000, you know, since Fuente. I mean, it's been much more. You've beaten Ole Miss a couple times. You've beat Mississippi State.
Right.
You know, I mean,
yep.
It's just much more of a competitive outfit, and everybody knows that. I mean, there's no hiding. You beat Florida State. I mean, you just the word is out on Memphis, bro. Like it ain't what it once was. It's much better, and it's kind of messed up that it gets harder. The better you get, the harder it gets. You know, for those kinds. So, anyway, we'll talk to Drew Hill about all this. His program's obviously a big part of the problem. So we'll get into all that and more on the other side. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Drew Hill is back from his sabbatical in Italy. Covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. And he joins us now. I know, you know, we don't have a you might be on assignment, you know, covering Memphis football. Jeff has written about the SEC scheduling difficulties and how this may be the last of a dying breed for Memphis. How does it feel to be a part of the problem?
Not great. I mean, I wish Alabama could just schedule cupcakes. Did you see what happened last year? You know, we should have just played all cupcakes, you know? So I'm not saying Memphis is a cupcake. I mean, Memphis may beat Arkansas this weekend. I don't know. I feel kind of good about it. I don't know why I feel so good, but I do. But yeah, no, I mean, I guess I'm part of the problem. I guess so.
Of course you're probably.
I don't know.
Because you guys, your league as a whole is removing at least one opportunity a year to do it. I mean, of all leagues that don't need, you know, out of conference scheduling, I mean, it's yours would be at the top of the list. I mean, at the SEC.
But also, I mean, in the end, let's just be real. Like, I mean, I guess I'm just pointing out the obvious here, being Captain Obvious. Like, it's a money thing, right? So, like, duh. Like, they want these schools to play big games that people are going to watch on TV and they can stuff their pockets. That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the bottom line. Like, unfortunately, the feelings of the American Conference teams are not a factor here. And it's gonna lead to fewer opportunities to see the big fun upsets early on in the season, and that stinks. But you know, it is what it is.
So if you were in charge of the University of Memphis athletic department, and you could wave a wand and you could come up with the Memphis football schedule every single year, who are the teams that you would, you know? Again, we're assuming. I don't know. I the SEC and the Big Ten seem like no non-starters. But if you could wave a wand and you could say for Memphis football, like, here's who's going to be on your schedule annually, like, where are you starting?
You mean like going forward?
Yes,
or
in the new world. In the new world.
In the new world.
In the new world. Not the one we wish was the case, but is not.
Okay. I mean, unfortunately, I think I know where this is going, and you're wanting me to just name the teams that they would have played in the Pac-12, but I think that's the direction you kind of have to go. I think I'm seeing right through you here, John. I mean, Boise State, duh. Like, you know, you're probably trying to get some ACC teams on the schedule. Like, Louisville would be a great one to get on the schedule, and it'd be a renewal of what used to be a good rivalry, especially in hoops. So, like, I'd love to get Louisville on the schedule because that's not that far from here either. I'm trying to get – I mean, and maybe you have a chance at some of these SEC teams, like maybe every couple years or every few years. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's where I start, like Boise State and then go to the ACC. Go to Louisville, SMU, you know, or go to the Big 12, try to grab a TCU, something like that. But, I mean, that just feels like it's going to be pretty difficult to do. So they have a very tough job now trying to schedule these games. So, but that's probably the direction I would go. What would you say? The Pac-12 teams?
Yeah,
I
don't know. You know, again, would Louisville do it? If Louisville would do it, I would certainly be cool with that because there's history there. And you know, I mean, they have some tradition, certainly. I would say, you know, if not – I would, you know, James Madison, Liberty, you know, just get one of those, you know, obviously Boise State. I would just get as many of those name brand group of six teams that you're going to be competing with, you know, because that's the next best thing. I mean, if you're not going to get the response you want for the Power Four, you kind of have to get the next best thing. And there's still some brand recognition in there. It's not sexy, but, I mean, it's the best you can do.
Yeah, and the fear is, too, that –
like these SEC teams now knowing that they have to schedule, that they're going to play 9 conference games and they're going to have to schedule a power conference team outside of that, they're going to try to snap up the beatable power conference teams that aren't, you know, like elite, if that makes sense. Like Mississippi State in this situation is going to go target the gettable Big 12 teams, right? You would think in terms of scheduling. Vanderbilt is going to go target the gettable ACC teams as their out of conference power conference team that they're going to have to play. And so once those teams already have that on their schedule, they've got an SEC team on their schedule, like where does Memphis fall in that mix? Or are you just not going to play any games against FCS teams, you know? So it there's a trickle down effect to this as well. But I think that sucks for Memphis.
You said you feel good about Saturday. I'm trying to feel good about it. I'm just curious, is it that good feeling that you got? Is it rooted in the window itself where Memphis has been successful on ABC in those early games against this type of opponent at least? Or is it more something you've seen from Memphis and Arkansas?
I think it's because Arkansas looked pretty good last weekend. So, and I do think that Bobby Petrino with, you know, Green, their quarterback, is a problem. Like, I have a feeling Arkansas is going to, they're not going to have to struggle very much to put up points if I had to guess in this game. But you're right. It just comes with the history and the territory because Memphis has played really well in these really big games where the focus is on that particular game. I think back to like Missouri. I think back to the last few times they played Ole Miss. Like they show up typically in these games and they know what they mean to them overall. And there's a history of Memphis winning and or being very competitive in these types of games. I mean, I look back at just at Florida State, right? You know, everybody sort of knew how big of a game that was going to be, and Memphis showed up in that game. Now, that Florida State team turned out to be a debacle, but, like, they've done everything. They've consistently showed up in this type of environment and in this type of game. Yeah. And so I'm going to bet that they're going to show up. I don't know if they're going to win. I think it's going to be difficult, but I think that they will show up and play a good game on Saturday. And so I'm banking on this being competitive, at least, you know, going into the fourth quarter. And I know that the atmosphere is going to be really good. I'm actually really excited about that. I think I'm going to be down there. You know, we've had a little bit of a lull with the Grizzly stuff going on recently, but I might go down there, might go check out the tailgates. If anybody is doing like a big tailgate, you know, I'd love to come by, say hello, whatever. I'm looking forward to getting a chance to just sort of soak this one in because we don't get that many of these, and this feels like it might be one of the last ones.
Get you a sausage biscuit, man. Goes. Get you a sausage biscuit.
I know. I hope everybody goes. Like, seriously, like, this is a chance to do something to, like, be supportive of a program that really matters. And, like, I don't try to tell fans what to do or tell people how to spend their money. Like, that's just – I don't think that's right. But this feels like a pretty – daggone easy thing to get behind civically, you know, as a city, knowing that if we want the best for the future of Memphis and we want Memphis to be in a power conference one day, and like it might look bleak right now, but this is a real opportunity to show what Memphis is capable of. And so I hope they really fill up the Liberty Bowl on Saturday, seriously. And I hope it looks great on TV and Memphis is competitive in the game, and like I want the best for the city. And so, you know, if I'm somebody that is a big Tigers basketball fan or a Grizzlies fan, but I'm looking for an opportunity to go, you know, support the city, like this is so easy. And it's going to be, it hopefully looks like it's going to be pretty nice on Saturday. You get to go down there tailgate. I mean, come on, it doesn't get much better than this. So, you know, I'm optimistic that we're going to get a great crowd and it's going to look great. And I would encourage people to go because I think it's a big opportunity to show sort of what the university is capable of.
Yeah, I think they'll get 30. If they can't get 30, just shut it down, bro. I mean, come on. 30,000 for an SEC game.
Oh, yeah, I think they're getting that. I think Arkansas, like, we can be real about it. Arkansas will help them get over that.
Oh, no, I mean, if it was the full – throttle, I think you'd have probably 50 to 55, honestly. I mean, I think they'd call it a sellout if you had the full. You know, I know for an SEC football game, you'll get enough because you get some casuals out there. You know, it's early in the morning. It'll be a good thing. It'll be a good day, I think, for, you know, in terms of attendance, no question about that. I am curious though, as an SEC man, when, you know, because I was at Skybox and I saw and experienced firsthand the misery of the Tennessee fans behind me. And it was a lot of fun, I got to say. So who, what SEC fan base do you particularly enjoy beating?
Tennessee. Auburn is the obvious answer. But, like, I'll paint a picture for you. So I was in Italy last week. It was a good time. A friend got married of mine, and a friend from Alabama. And we all watched the game. It was like prime time over there. It was like 6 p.m. So we're watching the 11 o'clock game at 6 p.m. And so the second window starts, and I'm like, I'm going to bed. I'm tired. Like, it had been – I was jet lagged. I didn't even necessarily want to go on this trip at first, but I was like one of two best men in this wedding. So I was like feeling the pressure to go. I was like, I'm going to bed. And so I turned off the Georgia and Tennessee game at halftime. And I woke up the next morning and I was like, oh no, darn. That's so rough that happened to them. I feel so terrible for them, that they happened to choke that one away. I think the answer here is Tennessee. Like, I'm not like, and look, I like Tennessee fans. My sister went to school there. My brother-in-law went to school there, whatever. My parents now, like Tennessee cause their kids went there. But not me, you know, you can't go to Alabama and like Tennessee. So I think that's the obvious answer. Who do you think has the worst fans?
No, I think it's no question about it. Hands down, loud and proud at Tennessee. Not even close. Not even,
but we're like Alabama fans. I'm not going to lie. Like, we are the most spoiled people. And it's hilarious listening to the Feinbaum calls and stuff every weekend when Alabama loses. I mean, John, I literally woke up and I saw some video of some lady saying if she wins the Powerball, the first thing she's doing is setting aside $70 million to pay Kalen DeBoer's buyout.
That's funny. Like, that's charming. That's unlike what the Tennessee fan base is. The Tennessee fan base, in every experience.
I would give them some credit.
Why would you do that?
I'll give them some credit. Because, look, they show up, they have a good fan base, the atmosphere at Neyland Stadium is sick. Like, it's awesome. But that's why I like beating them, right?
I don't mean worse in terms of, like, support, right? I mean, I think in terms of support and loyalty and things like that, they're definitely among – I just mean every experience that I've ever had with Tennessee, I find them to be abrasive. I find them to be, generally pains in the ass. Just nothing really redeeming about them. Whereas, you know, like you said, you know, with Alabama, there's some charm there, you know, hee hee ha ha, I'm going to buy out Kalen DeBoer. You know, it's funny. You know, Tennessee fans are just hateful people. They're hateful. They're abrasive. They're not nice people. You know, I can't say I've ever had a positive experience with one of them. So, you know, that's my experience. But maybe other people have different ones, but that's why they would be definitely, if I was doing worst fan base power rating, number one by a long shot.
I got a chuckle out of watching. There was like an Alabama Hard Knocks version from last season. I forget where they ran it, but it's on like one of the streaming sites. And I was watching it, and there was a whole section before the Tennessee game about the school's fear for the cheerleaders and the band if they lose. Like, they needed to have an exit plan to keep them safe if Alabama lost to Tennessee on the road. And I was like, yeah, that checks out. Mm-hmm. But look, that's why it's fun.
Because
they care. And it's raucous. And it's like, that's what makes it fun. So I'll give Tennessee fans credit. I think they're passionate. But, like, you know who has the best fans in all of college football? It's Nebraska, dude. Mm. Nebraska, they show up to everything. They sold out FedEx Forum here for the NCAA tournament.
They travel.
And
yep.
They go through misery every single year, and they still have one of the best atmospheres in college football. Like, if you were to ask me who's the best, I'd probably tell you Nebraska has the best fan base in the country. Like, I'm shocked every single time.
you know, I'm watching Nebraska games and I'm like, they're 5-7 and their 100,000 seat stadium is just sold out. It's crazy.
John has identified you as an SEC man. You're an Alabama man. You're not a Georgia man, but you are an SEC man. I'm just curious, how high on a list of, man, that was a wild thing to say. Would you put Ryan Silverfield on his coaching show, you know, taking a shot at Georgia's weekly off the field arrests? It seems a little rare. Drew, what do you think about those comments? Had you seen them?
Yeah, I saw it. I don't know really what to make of it. It doesn't feel like. I mean, he definitely wasn't intending for that to go as viral as it did. But yeah, I mean, the Georgia off the field stuff is obviously not great, but it is just part of it. You know, it's that they've sort of become the joke that way. And until something changes, that's just going to continue to be that way. But I, as far as Ryan Silverfield's comments, like, I don't know. Like, I don't think Georgia is like angry about Ryan Silverfield's comments. Maybe their fans are online, but I can't imagine Kirby Smart is really worried about what Ryan Silverfield has to say.
No, I think he's probably just like mystified. I mean, like, yeah. What the hell? Well, why is a Memphis football coach taking a shot at me, man? What the hell? It's weird.
I mean, maybe, but like, maybe mystified is the right word. Maybe he's just like, why? But like, I don't think that's what Ryan Silverfield intended when he said it. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I haven't been able to get the full context of that quote.
Yeah. No, it was really strange. Before we get you out of here, what's next for the Grizz? Training camp's got to be kicking up here soon, right?
Yeah. So the Grizz, obviously, well, the one thing we didn't talk about last week, they signed Omax Prosper,
yes,
who is the last two-way contract for them. And so it means, you know, Jamai Meshack will start with the Hustle. And I think there's a chance that Jamai ends up as a two-way player later on in the season, but that was the last little bit of Grizzlies news we got. And now it's basically like 2 weeks until everything sort of comes back into the picture again. And I'm in the middle of working on another one of those special Grizzlies projects, which I'll be super excited to share soon. So I haven't been doing as much Grizzlies stuff on the side, but I promise it'll be worth it because this is really good inside stuff. That I hope will be out sometime before the start of training camp. But Media Day is the last week of September, and then training camp will be in October. And then we'll be hitting the ground running with the three home preseason games and all the other stuff. But, yeah, it's a little quiet right now, but it's quiet across the NBA. This is just generally, you know, the NBA's dead period as football starts. So, Not much going with the Grizz right now outside of a couple minor contract things.
Yeah. Drew, you're the best, man. Always good to
catch up, brother.
And welcome back to the States.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. Real quick before I get out of here, Jason, are you still alive? Because I'm ready to I think I'm done. Done.
I was going to say I've pledged that, you know, so long as we're irrelevant, we don't talk about that team. And that's why I didn't ask you a question about those guys. Yeah. I cannot. It's our defense, Drew. I think I'm the most disappointed with, right? We could sit up here and talk about Caleb and what's not happening, but come on, man. We're supposed to be defensively 52 points. I mean, yeah, a fourth quarter to J.J. McCarthy, who looked like you know what against Atlanta for four quarters. He was garbage. I'm concerned ain't the word.
If you're going to say that you're not going to talk about them so long as they're irrelevant, I'm going to also make a promise that I'm not going to allow myself to be fooled again. They can do whatever they want. They can do it. They could, I don't know, Tom Brady could come back and also lose 20 years of age, and we could have 28-year-old Tom Brady in his prime as our starting quarterback next season. And I'll believe it when I see it, because nothing ever happens good for this team, and nothing will ever happen that's good for this team until I see it with my own two eyes. So I'm done believing. I'm done talking about it too. But it's just pathetic. I cannot believe how bad it has gotten.
Go Cubs, go. It's baseball season.
Go Cubs, go.
There we go.
All right, see you guys.
Thank you, bro.
Thanks, Drew. Is Drew Hill, Rigging Matt, DailyMemphian.com. We'll come back here, wrap this up on a Tuesday. Jason and John, how do
you trying to... This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm ESPN. Live Love Guru by the Real Estate Agency is going to help you get in that home of your dreams. They're going to help you price your home. They're going to help you make the most money for your home. They know what the market is responding to. They know how to get results. Regardless of what the rate environment may be, they've thrived in them all. But you got to reach out. Sold at LiveLoveMemphis.com.
901-625-5200. You can get in touch with them directly. Whether it's Jennifer Carstensen or anyone from her hardworking team, they're going to put you right on track to get that home sold for exactly the price that they say they will. That's the key. She identifies it right from the jump in terms of what you're going to get. Top dollar, but you won't be left in a situation, hopefully, where you're out on the market, you're having to decrease the price, you're doing all the showings, and nothing's happening. That's not live love. She's done it through every market. Give her a chance to do it with you. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the real estate agents.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier in the show the future power rankings over at ESPN.com for the Memphis Grizzlies. And you pointed out that only 3 years ago, the Grizzlies had back-to-back number one rankings on the list. And it's a short walk from the penthouse to the outhouse. It's also what I say is you're only ahead of schedule until you're not, and they were ahead of schedule, and now they're not. Now they're behind schedule because they're 17th, which is technically the bottom half of the NBA. They were 12th last year. Now they're 17th, and this is what ESPN says. It was only 3 years ago when Memphis had back-to-back number one ranks on this list, and the Grizzlies missed the playoffs in 2024, got routed in the first round this year. It led to a roster reset by general manager Zach Kleiman, who sent Desmond Bane to the Magic for multiple draft picks. The move is a recognition that the previous iteration of the Grizzlies wasn't going to win the West. For their part, Orlando, 7th. Orlando, who of course just traded for Desmond Bane, between Desmond Bane, Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner, Jalen Suggs, a couple other guys I think who are on the up and up. They have the Magic 7th at ESPN. No shock, OKC number 1, Rockets 2. Interestingly enough, they have the Knicks 3.
That one's interesting. I thought Clippers jumping from 20 to 5 was interesting.
I guess
5th? Yeah, bro, that's a 15 spot jump for the Clippers.
Yeah, I don't really understand.
Next 3 years.
Golden State 6.
Right. Some of those older,
right.
I mean, maybe definitely the case for the Clippers and the Warriors, those older regime teams that you thought maybe in the next 3 years would be going away.
Yes.
But they point out they like the Clippers are a 15-spot jump from last year because of a top-five ranking in money, market, and management.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
22 in draft and 12 in players, but it's the top-five ranking in the other three categories that has them top-five. I wouldn't have the Clippers top-five next 3 years.
Right. No, I agree. And then what would make you feel very good is that the ESPN ranks Phoenix 30th. Their future is the worst in the NBA.
Which might be, enough for a – should you go to 15, 16? You were 12 last year. That's what I was talking about with Benson.
Mm-hmm.
That Phoenix asset could be the best asset that you have. I mean, it's,
yeah.
They're Ja Morant,
Mm-hmm.
Jaren, Coward.
Coward.
The pick.
The great mystery.
I mean, we don't know on the third asset. The third best asset might be the pick.
Could. I mean, it very well could. I mean, I think, you know, Ja is worth more to the Grizzlies than he would be to somebody else, so that hurts your trade value there. Mm. Jaren, you know, I don't think your return for Jaren would be much. I mean, you know, relative to what you would expect. And then Coward, we have no idea. So, yeah, I think there's a very real possibility that that Phoenix pick is – I mean, I would probably rank it number one. I mean, you can't trade Ja because he's, you know, he's your box office. So that's just the bottom line there. But then his injury history and things like that, you would not get what you think you deserve for Ja Morant. So, anyway, interesting story up at ESPN.com. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Drew Hill for joining us on the show. Thanks to Jessica Benson as well. Jeffrey and Company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.